Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us in a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. One track at a time, I am one of your co-hosts this evening, Mark Kammeyer. Joining me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you feeling? Do you feel the love tonight?
I live my life like there's no tomorrow.
I came in too early, Mark, but that's the answer. I'm feeling great tonight. Man, coming off a high from last week, Greg Renoff and calling my shot and getting a classic track. How else can we follow that up? You know, I really feel bad for the guys who maybe have to come in and be the next guests after Greg Renoff. That's a tough act to follow.
I mean, it's such a high bar, and I don't envy our next guest. And so it's a good thing that for tonight, it's just going to be, it's not just you and I, Corey. We are joined by guests tonight. So no pressure to our guests. But fortunately for them, they're very good under pressure because they are returning guests. They are returning guests. You have heard them before. You know them from the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. It is Todd and Sean McGinty. Hello, boys. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
There's that voice we've been missing. But, you know, we were sitting here thinking, I had a guest lined up, and he kind of went radio silent. He's kind of a famous guy, had a lot on his plate. So I thought, well, who could we get in to pinch it? And I thought, you know, next week we're getting the first place and third place finishers in our favorite guest poll. Why not ask the boys who finished second if they'd be willing to come on and spin the wheel during All-Star August? And I can't think of a better way to continue All-Star August than with the McGinnity brothers, Sean and Todd. How are you doing tonight? Let's start with Todd. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having us back.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been catching up on your show, and I really appreciate a couple of shows ago, Sean especially gave us some really nice shout outs. So we thought we would return the favor here and talk a little bit about the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast, because you guys have been knocking it out of the park here lately. Sean, maybe before I get into that, how are things in your neck of the woods?
Well, I guess I had an incident on the way to the podcast here today. I was biking. I dropped my car off to get serviced, and it's one of these places. It's a mom and pop sort of place. So, you know, you drop the car off and then you have to get, find your own way home. So I dropped it off yesterday and I was going to pick it up today. And I got my mom, my little 10 speed to go pick it up. And I don't know, it's a decent trek. And I popped the tire on the way back to go get the car. And the thunderclouds, you could see the thunderclouds coming in. And I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. But I made it in time. It was good. No injuries. A bent rim. But other than that, I think I'm okay.
Man, you've been going through it lately.
Storm.
Yeah. I tell you. And on the latest episode, I don't want to give away everything, but you guys, Sean, you told a pretty interesting story about kind of losing your family in West Edmonton Mall. And being a father myself and being in that mall, I was feeling the stress along with you. Like, I hope he finds his wife soon.
Oh, it was terrifying. You're like, what do I do? I don't know. Yeah, it was pure panic.
It's a go great find mall security and you ask for their help. You plead with them. Go like, please, security people, find my family.
Can you find the three best looking people in this mall, please?
Exactly.
Yeah, my family was hanging out with them. Just find the three best looking people. And
they don't have those things like Mall Cop where you just jump on it and you can just kind of take off.
In America, they do, right, Mark?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's whether they should have them or not. The Segways are all over the place. They don't have those up north.
Well, they had these little like animals you could ride on and drive around.
Yes.
Oh, we have the
Zoomies. Zoomie riders. I know Tom is struggling. You guys are struggling for the name. I'm pretty sure it was like Zoomies or Zoomie riders.
Cause... Yeah, I almost rented one of those so I could, but it was like, I don't know, it was $1 a minute. I was like, yeah.
Myself and my noble steed will find my family on our own.
My family's not that important. I'm not paying $1 a minute. Are you crazy? Yeah.
Sean hops on a zebra and just zooming around.
The stupid thing, I was looking at comic books. It's like I look at comic books and I lose track of time.
That I feel you. I feel that really hard.
Yep.
Now I wanted to bring something up before we get into our show. Sorry, Todd, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Did you have something you wanted to add there?
No, I was just gonna say he was gonna find a zebra and ride along like was it Night at the Zoo or Night at the Museum?
Oh, Night at the Museum, yeah.
Night at the Museum. Galloping down the hallways.
Night at the Edmonton Mall,
which is a massive mall. I've been there. It's huge. So it's kind of like the Mall of America in Minneapolis, Mark, for you Americans out there. But the main crux of the latest show I know was you guys were doing favorite covers, and Todd didn't quite get the assignment. He kind of got a little confused.
I'm not good with homework.
I said that before. I wanted to find out what the hell happened. Did you think it was originals that were covered by other people, or what was the disconnect there?
Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was the originals, but it wasn't copies of the originals, like the original artist. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know. It didn't compute for some reason. I had a brain fart. So,
well, you know what? To show you how dumb I am, I also missed the assignment, but in a different way. I heard favorite covers and I thought it was album covers. I'm like, oh, what would I pick? I'd probably pick Eliminator from ZZ Top.
That'd be a good episode though.
There we go. I could have showed up with that.
That's how old I am. I'm thinking vinyl records and cover art, but no, it's actually music covers. So I just wanted to figure out just what the heck happened there.
The Patreon picture for that episode was bed sheets, like bed sheet covers.
There you go.
So used just to confuse people. Our titles for our episodes are always confusing as hell. And people are like, what the fuck are they talking about this week? I just better listen then, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. Good strategy.
See, being in a band, you're playing covers. What are you playing? You're playing their music, right? So what covers do you play? Well, we play this one, but I didn't realize it was other people that I was supposed to figure out. But luckily there was, I think, 3 or 4 songs out of those were actually covered by other people that I was actually able to, kind of pull that out of my hat.
Yeah, I think there's only one that hadn't been covered because, like, oh, and who covered that one, Todd? Yeah, I don't know.
Mike Massey.
Mike Massey covered everything.
And it was like, who's that?
Yeah.
But do you guys listen to that Mike Massey at all?
Can't say I have, no.
Holy shit, is he good? He's really good. He's amazing.
I don't think so. The name doesn't ring a bell.
He's not a big name guy. He does YouTube stuff and.
And oh, okay.
Got amazing sound playing at like coffee shops and stuff, and it sounds like he's in a studio.
Yeah, pizza place, and it just sounds like a whole production.
Yeah,
nice. We're good to check that out.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Getting all of that out of the way and getting right into the program, as it were, Corey, we got to do what we got to do at the beginning of every show, and we go back to the rockin' poll. We go and take a look on Twitter. We put up a poll based on how you guys vote the song we just covered. So I have to ask, what does the poll say for our show last week?
Well, I think the majority of fans were feeling the love that night because it was 93.4% What Dreams Are Made Of, only 6.6% This Dream Is Over, which would equate to like one vote out of all the votes. And it's still, how do you downvote that song?
Is that the best ratio? Is that the best ratio this time?
That would be right up there. Yeah, I think so. And I'm not even going to say it's Mariano because he's up the Catskills. I don't even think he has internet access. So I don't even think he heard I don't think he downvoted it.
He sent somebody a raven else. And, you know, it landed on the poll.
Oh, you can tell Mark watched Game of Thrones on Sunday.
I did watch House of the Dragon, but that's for a different show.
Maybe they'll be on the Sean Geek podcast because they talk all things geek on there.
That's right.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
But we had some comments on that one as well, Mark. So if you like, I can go through those.
Please do.
All right. Our friends at the Deep Purple podcast said an absolute gem of a song, just as Greg Grunoff is an absolute gem of a guest. Hard to disagree with that. Hard to imagine any Van Halen fan not liking this one. Great episode as always. Thank you very much. From the Deep Purple podcast, Rihanna just said What Dreams Are Made Of. David Lee Smith says the three of you guys could feel the love tonight. Absolutely. What Dreams Are Made Of. Thank you very much, David, for commenting. Jonathan Meisner says I picked up the vinyl from a local record store just a couple of weeks ago. This is the only song of Van Halen one I had never heard before, but now I'm glad I did. Well, that's awesome. If you're picking up vinyl, Van Halen one, I think is an absolute must. That's one of the best. Certainly one of the best debut albums of all time. So. Scott Everett says, a song I overlooked for years. Then they started playing it in later tours, and I found out exactly what I was missing. Great song, end-to-end. Thank you for that, Scott. Mm-hmm. Next up is Gregory, who says, great episode and major props for getting Greg Randolph on the show. I have both of his books on Audible. They're both fantastic books. By all means, I recommend everybody go out and give him a read. And yeah, Greg Randolph, absolutely fantastic. He seemed like he had a good time. He said immediately he'd be willing to come back for more. So as soon as we can, we'd like to get him back on the show. Michael Green, who actually has submitted a song, he's going to try and call a shot here tonight. He said, Greg Grunoff was an amazing guest. I have both his books. Can't wait for the next one. Definitely bring him back as a guest. It's happening, my friend. Sooner rather than later. Yep. Good friend Tom says, to whomever downvoted, who hurt you? And I agree.
I agree. I agree. Because, I mean, how? I just don't understand. Are you just, whoever you are out there, are you just trying to be a contrarian? Because why?
We already have one. We don't need to.
Yeah, we don't need another.
Oh, our good buddies from the Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast said the only problem with this episode was that it stopped. As Pot of Thunder would say, good, good, real good. Thank you very much for that, Sean. I know that was probably you that tweeted that.
Oh, yeah.
Much appreciated. Michael Green again says the intro brings me back to why I fell in love with Van Halen in my teens. There's only one David Lee Roth. No one that can sing these songs like David. Sorry, Sammy. This song is exactly why I love the debut. Great intro, lyrics, harmonies, guitar tone, and rhythm section.
Agree to disagree, but, you know, whatever.
Airhead said, happy to extend my streak to 40 What Dreams Are Made Of. Yes, really. Okay, look at the songs we covered, Mark. That means he voted yes to how many say I. Everything got failing.
Yeah.
Van Halen 3 that you hated. Wow. We got to get him on the show and find out what the hell. Really? 40?
Oh, we need to pick that brain. We may not like the answer, but it just seems necessary at this point.
Yeah. He goes on to say, great deep track from the debut album. Perfect harmonies and love the ending with just the vocals. And Dave taking the bass line on tonight. There you go. Thumbs up from Airhead. Jonathan,
I'm just going to say Airhead 3 did have some Korean barbecue pork rice bowl last week. So I'm just letting you know he's got a really good live acting Twitter feed here. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jonathan P. Todd says, what a party song. Makes me long for late 70s and early 80s. Well, I wasn't around in the late 70s, or if I was, I was 2 years old. And I know Mark's much younger than me. How about you, boy? The McGinney boys, you guys you don't remember the late 70s, do you?
I remember it very well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I the oldest one here? I guess I am the oldest one here.
I don't know.
You might be
54.
If you're in the 50s, you're older than me, my friend. So
there you go.
Yeah, I'm in my 50s too. So,
oh wow, you look so young.
I try.
And finally, we have Greg Vito,
talking to me.
Says, yeah, Sean, you just look like shit. Todd looks great. Greg Zito says, what dreams are made of for both song and episode. Loved all the stories and observations from Greg Renoff. Bring them back soon. Mark and Corey delivered as always. Well, of course. Thank you very much for that, Greg. Aww. And those are the comments.
All right. All right. Well, thank you all for participating. Thank you for voting in. And to the one person, you know who you are. We don't know who you are. And just stay anonymous. That would be for the best, I think. But hey, it's all subjective. You know, we sometimes certain songs hit us a certain way. We have often said not all of Van Halen's catalog are winners, as evident if you've listened to this show at all. I have downvoted so many so far. Funny enough, most of them come from this one album in particular, but you know, enough of that. Corey, let's it's time to really put the power to test here. I always ask, and I'll ask the guests as well, what song or album in particular you want to manifest tonight? Let's see. Sean, Todd, since you guys are the guests today, and I think, Sean, you even said specifically you know exactly what you want to manifest for this show. So please enlighten us. What would you like the wheel to bequeath us?
After the last episode, at the end of the song, instantly in my head, I heard the song that followed. And that's why I said I wanted it to keep going. So I'm going for Little Dreamer off Van Halen 1. That's what I want to hear.
Nice. All right. Would be mad about that. More Van Halen 1. Todd, do you feel the same way or do you have something else in mind?
I've got something else in mind. I'm the One.
Oh.
Also a great one.
Yeah.
Two from Van Halen 1.
Yeah. So no complaints. Corey, are you going to keep the theme going or are you going to be a contrarian?
I'm going to be a contrarian because one of the fellows I mentioned in the comments there, Michael Green, he kind of said he wanted to call his shot or, you know, put it up to the fans. So I asked him, I said, we're recording in about, you know, 40 minutes. What do you want the wheel to spin tonight? And he said Pound Cake. So that got me thinking about Four Unlawful, and I'm thinking the song I almost spun last week and probably my favorite cut off of Four Unlawful, which is Top of the World. So if we spun Pound Cake for Michael or Top of the World for me, I'd be very happy.
I would not be mad at anything from the Fuck album, but I say that now knowing full well that there are songs I don't like on that album. And there are songs Corey does not like from that album. So that might have jinxed us, but we'll see. I myself, I'm going to keep the theme. As I did last week, I'm going to keep it this week as well. Thank you to Sean and Todd for giving me the idea. I want some Van Halen 1, but I want the song that really sort of drew me into Van Halen from the start. I want Ain't Talking About Love. I need that one.
All right. So that's three from Van Halen 1. This is going to be interesting to see what we come up with. I'm going to give it a good shuffle here and make sure we put all those Van Halen 1s right at the bottom. Okay, Mark, whenever you're ready, call for it.
All right, Sammy, take it away.
Oh, tell you what, it's a Four Unlawful song, but it's not one we pick.
Whoa.
On a mission.
And there's the jinx.
That's my daughter's favorite Van Halen song.
Oh, really?
My 6-year-old. That's her favorite Van Halen song. No idea why.
Wow.
Yeah. But if she would have called a song, that would have been it.
Well, there you go. She called her shot. That's great.
Yeah. You should get to the bottom of that. Like, find out the context as to why. Maybe she just likes the way it sounds. Maybe she is just so overwhelmed by the awesomeness of Sammy Hagar's vocals. I mean, I get it.
I think it's more like, I like the guitar. It's almost as good as Uncle Todd.
If only Eddie Van Halen could aspire to Uncle Todd levels.
Oh,
wow. All right. Todd, do you know, have you heard a lot of this album here?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard them all, but you know what? Just like anything else, when it comes to an actual name of a song, sometimes it doesn't really jump out at me. Just by listening to the music, I don't really pay attention to the words as much, let alone sometimes the song titles. So as soon as you play about 2 seconds of this song, it'll come to me. But at the moment, I just can't remember what this one here sounds like.
Todd, you got recollections of this tour? Because we saw them on this tour.
Oh, yeah. I saw the tour. So he comes out with this battery-operated drill when he starts up the first song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all got the stripes and everything. It's pretty cool.
Now, this is a song they only did once in concert in 1992 at Cabo Wabo in San Lucas, Mexico. So they wouldn't have played it that night that you guys saw them.
No, they definitely didn't know. I think they did about 4 or 5 tracks from there, though, from that album.
They did a lot on that tour from this album, yeah. Yep. If you pick up Live Right Here Right Now, I think there's like 5 or 6 from Four Unlawful on there. Yeah, all the way up to The Dream Is Over. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 were kind of mainstays in the set for that tour. So
that's impressive.
Yeah. They were a fan of this album. Mark, what are your recollections of Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge?
This is the first album that I recall actively sitting down and listening to from start to finish. Every other album I had listened to was either select songs, or I just wasn't aware that somebody was spinning a particular Van Halen record. I was just, you know, letting it pass me by. But For Unlawful is the first one that I remember sitting down, like putting the CD in the player and going like, okay, let's listen to some Van Halen. And away we went. So this one, however, not exactly in my top tier as far as how much I enjoyed it, but I remember Man on a Mission. So but it's been a long time. I have not revisited it in quite some time, so it'll be interesting to kind of listen to it from a fresh perspective, as you know we do on the show.
That's right. So if you guys are ready, we're gonna spin a little Man on a Mission, the B-side from Right Now, released February 1992. The album came out June 17th, 1991. Here we go. Todd, what are your thoughts on that opening salvo?
It's a different groove. Obviously, it's not your classic first 3-4 albums of Van Halen sound, because at that point he had kind of changed his sound a little bit. And then as it kind of went further, it changed even more so after he came out with the with his Wolfgang guitars and his own amps. It's almost like, what was that tune that we did last time? It was the very last track of was it Women and Children First, where they're kind of just there and they're talking and they're singing at the same time. It almost has that kind of groove to it.
Yeah, I just love how it sounds so kind of messy at up front, like almost like Eddie's purposely just playing not so well. He's like, wait, I got it. And then it kicks in and it's like a nice little rocking groove. Misdirect, but it's not really, because you already know what Eddie is capable of. So it's he's not fooling anyone.
That riff is really odd, that opening thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this is, okay, it is Van Halen. You know, yeah, that, I like that right, misdirect. Right. Yeah, it's great.
I'm kind of with you, Sean. The first time you hear it, like, did it, you're like, what the? but then once it lays into the groove, then I'm kind of more on board with it. So.
Kind of like a choreographed fall.
Right.
Yeah.
And I had to go back and look because I totally forgot, but you're right, Todd. It was In a Simple Rhyme, the last track from Women and Children First that you guys were on our show. That was the first one you guys spun.
Yeah, that was the one that I...
Yeah,
I give a thumbs down and I get roasted for it. So
I think I got kicked off of Twitter for that comment.
It's happened to all of us. Don't worry about it. sorry, Mark, he's not really being vague with the lyrics here, is he?
I didn't realize how bad it was.
Let me tell you something. When you're a man on a mission, it's in the title. What do you want me to say? He's like, it's man on a mission, and your first thought is, wonder what he means by that. And right away, he's letting you know exactly what he means by that. He's a man on a mission. He is trying to get laid. What do I think about it? Well, it's no less subtle than anything David Lee Roth has put down. So
true.
What are we doing?
I'm not going to let my daughter listen to this anymore.
I forgot you let that little nugget slip.
Time the guitar, she doesn't understand the words. She's only six. And like, yeah, I don't want you to know what the words are.
No.
See, and this whole time I was thinking, what's Sean going to do when his daughter walks up and says, Daddy, what's the man singing about? Oh, he's singing about getting gas. Just shut up.
He's on a mission. It's an important mission.
He's picking up KFC. That's all it is.
Yeah.
He wants to fill up on KFC.
Yeah,
that's it, and nothing else.
Well, there's a line coming up. You get one big pot, so there we go. They're making a pot of Kraft dinner or something. I don't know.
Spread your wings and open wide. Yeah, he's got a whole chicken in front of him, and
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. This is not a song about what you think it is. You guys get Sammy all wrong.
It's about hot wings. Yes, we were. I get it.
See, this is what I mean about the lyrics. See, I wouldn't have never known that until, you guys actually pointed it out.
Well, and to David Lee Roth's credit, I think he would have been a little more subtle about it, or a little more poetic, not just coming right out and saying, baby, let me fill you up inside.
That's adorable that you think so, but, whatever.
Hot wings. There you go. See?
Yep.
That's so hot. Where we're going.
KFC, like hot wings.
Yeah.
Mark, get your mind out of the gutter.
You're right. Sorry.
Read the lyrics, man.
How could I have been so wrong? Spread your wings and open wide. You're right.
It's you got to get the meat in between there. Like
Yeah, you do. Oh, hot.
You get every inch, play splat and bone.
What splat and bone?
What the hell is that?
Well, now I'm not so sure it's not about chicken wings.
Or is it bone and splat?
What the hell is splat? Okay, so what the line is, you get every...
Never played splat and bone?
What the hell is that? Is that like, I don't know, like kickball or something? Or like one of those games when we didn't have like balls and sticks and stuff. I don't know.
Well, it might be, but we don't kink shame here on the podcast.
Someone should Google splat and bone and see what that means.
It up. I did.
This is your mission now. You are the man on the mission. Tell us what splat and bone means.
Look it up.
I'm trying. I'm not getting much anything. This is harder than it looks. I feel bad.
I feel these lyrics might be incorrect potentially.
Look, they're incorrect. Less talk, more action, no distractions. That's what Sammy is saying. And look, I get it. When you are on a mission to devour some spicy hot chicken wings, you don't want to be distracted by anything because it is like, it's a task. Sometimes it's a task. I tell you, if you're a fan of the show Hot Ones and you're experimenting with super hot sauce, I can tell you that is most certainly a mission. My lady Chrissy and I did our own Hot Ones challenge. And once it got to a particular point, you can think about nothing except the increasingly just burning inside your mouth.
Okay, so I'm wondering
so hard not to piss yourself.
I looked up the lyrics somewhere else just to see. So you give every inch, flesh, blood, and bone. And it's all wrapped up in a tight little bundle.
Wow, that's not even close to what I got here.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's what we got. It.
You get every inch, play splat and bone.
Which, oh, no. Yeah. No, Sean's right. It's flesh, blood, and bone.
Which still works with the hot wings theory.
But I'm still, but I'm not over the play splat and bone thing. I'm still not over this. Like, no, we need answers.
I think Corey's got another podcast in him. That's going to be the name of the podcast. Splat and bone.
Splat and bone. All right. I backed it up a few seconds. Let's listen again and see if we can pick it up.
Okay.
All right.
It sounds like play splat and bone.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It really does. But I mean, you can kind of hear him say flesh blood, but it still kind of sounds like play splat. It's the way he's his diction is for this.
Like a Gene Simmons like vocal line where he's like,
yeah, exactly.
So did they use a Google Translator when they actually made this?
I feel
kind of. Because, you know, my wife makes me watch a lot of Food Network and I hear play splat and bone. I thought, do they mean spatchcocking, which is a cooking term for removing the backbone out of a chicken so that it lays flat? So maybe he just wants to spread his woman and lay her flat and spatchcock her. Sammy is a sick fuck.
Like a chicken.
Yeah, like a chicken.
In Portuguese, we call that frango asado. So that's I think he was trying to do a translation there of the Portuguese chicken that they make.
Well, I certainly hope not, but if so, we at the podcast do not kink shame, but we do draw a line.
We draw the line at spatchcocking. Don't do that to your partner.
Don't spatchcock chickens. Unless we're talking about, I'm so confused now. Let's just hear more of the song.
This could be a new food truck. On the side,
come on down to Spatchcocks. We got flat chicken,
flat on their backs. That's how you like them.
And flat your bone.
And flat your bone. There you go. There's the tagline. Say it in your sexy voice, Todd.
Please, splat and bone.
Oh, I'm wet. Right.
That's wonderful. We're keeping that.
NSFW. Hey,
now he's singing about a ball. I don't think Sammy knows what the fuck he's doing in this song here, Mark.
Now he's bowling? Like they had their wings. Now they're, I don't know.
Well, I mean, well, you do when you're cleaning your bowling ball, it is wrapped in a tight bundle. You know, you gotta wrap it up, you know, kind of scrub it. He's got an open mind. He'll do anything. Ah, see, this is just Sammy trying to express to us, the audience, that he's not closed-minded in his sexual exploration.
And I feel this is Sammy Hagar not understanding what a metaphor is. Some of these lyrics are really fucking stupid.
Look, he's not. What, there's a line he's letting you know. I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I don't know why. Look, straight ahead, you know, less talk, more action. He's a man on a mission. He's telling you straight up, like, I'm done with subtlety. Like, I'm done with subtleties. Not doing it here.
I got that. But then from after spatchcocking and playing with his bowling ball, he's going to get it all in one big pot.
For the record, he never says spatchcocking. That is not in the song. He never says it.
Yes, I'm inferring that into the song. But now it's canon because I can just imagine him.
You're just adding to
There must be a Flying Aaron song about spatchcocking. I'm sure of it.
And if there's not, there's got to be, right?
So let me get this straight. So at the beginning, he's trying to get it on, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when he's done, after it says so hot, so hot, so hot, then he kind of gets hungry, and then he tries to get this splat and bone. And then when he's done that, he decides to go bowling. Is that... Is that the gist of the song?
Yeah, and then it's all going in one big pot for some reason.
I think he's getting wings at the local the Bolarama. I think he's, you know, he's gonna
have the best wings. They've got the best right. wings.
Why? What? We're overthinking this. Clearly, he's a fan of the very famous fast food chain Hooters. Two birds, one stone, so to speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken Let's go wings. With that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all conditioned. I'm a far off red. What the fuck is that?
Because look, he had a head full of hair. Sammy Hagar's got a lot of hair. You got to keep that thing conditioned if you want it to look good. He's not going to pick up any ladies if he's got, you know, nappy frizzy hair. Come on.
Okay, so he's
going to go home with that guy.
Yeah, he's probably got fire crotch too. So that's probably why it says I'm off far off the red.
Fire crotch is like Canadian venereal disease, I guess. Fire crotch. You can only get it in Saskatchewan, I guess. I don't know.
Hey. Maybe Manitoba too.
Yeah, all these distractions. I think that's what it was. You went bowling, he did the splat and jump and whatnot. And now he's saying he wants no distractions. He wants to get back to business, I think.
Yeah, after spatchcocking the chicken, he got fire crotch, which is an unfortunate side effect. Whenever you're spatchcocking,
you're not supposed to spatchcock the chicken. So, you know, that's what you get. That's what you get. It's a casualty.
If you're going to splat a bone, you're going to get fire crotch. Everybody knows that around these parts.
So he keeps saying, "Less talk, more action." Well, just shut up and do it already, dude. You've been talking for how many verses is this? She's like, said, "Okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm leaving." Yeah. You just shut up already.
She left the half hour ago.
Your spatchcocking talk is not turning me on.
Yeah, less talk. And he said way too fucking much. Way too much. If you're trying to close the deal,
He's saying a lot. This is true.
Yeah,
you know what? Can't defend
that. If you haven't closed the deal by baby, let me fill you up inside. It's not happening. Grab your bowling ball.
Yeah,
join a league. Yeah, you're done.
I take my ball and go home.
Yeah, fuck it, dude. Go bowling.
Take your ball and your fire crotch and get the fuck out of here.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So the only thing that's on his mind, she's forgotten my attention.
I mean, once you taste the real kind, oh.
Oh, is it taste? What you takes the real kind.
Yeah, what you takes the real kind.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
And then on the alternate one, it's once you taste the real kind.
It's taste. I don't know what the hell's happening on this particular lyric sheet that we're looking at here, but I've got another one that's a little bit more.
Okay, these are not accurate. Sexy lyrics. These are not sexy lyrics at all, right? Maybe Todd needs to read this and flip it on its ear and actually make it work. Because Todd can make it work.
Yeah, Todd, you start on You Get Every Inch and do it in your sexy voice, and let's see if this works.
You get every inch?
Yeah.
That's a good place to start.
Where are we at?
Exactly.
just pick a spot, Todd.
Where is it there? Ah. Oh, you get every inch, play splat and bone, and it's all wrapped up in a tight little bundle. I got an open mind, do anything. I'm aware the ball might roll or tumble.
That sounded like Pete the Cat.
That sounded like a deprived Bob Ross.
I tell you what, I'm semi-rigid, but I still don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I don't have my morning growl.
No.
Yeah.
The audience couldn't handle that.
Oh my, this song is just punching a hole in the theory that Mark has that Sammy writes tremendous lyrics.
I admitted on a previous show that not all of his lyrics are tremendous. I admit that.
But what will be tremendous is the upcoming solo. Let's give it a listen.
Oh, thank God.
All right, let's start with Todd. As one of the three musicians on the panel, what did you think about that section there?
Well, the beginning is kind of weird. Well, it's like the very beginning of the song, the solo kind of starts, which is kind of an odd thing. You would never hear him play that type of style. You do hear some very classic Eddie type of riffs in there, but there's definitely some new. I don't know if he has new influences or he's just kind of winging it or he just had something in mind to put in there, but it all meshes well together. But I mean, for me, the original Van Halen with Dave is pretty much my forte. This one here is not bad. I like Sammy. He's okay. But I don't know. The solo is. It was okay.
All right.
I guess in a nutshell.
John?
I want to hear Mark's opinion before I, as the other guitar player, I think I want to hear the guitar players before the drummer talks.
Well, I was just going to say, I love the callback. Now, not only is that intro sort of a tease into the song, it's a tease for what Eddie's going to do later. So that's cool. It's a little callback. I like that. The solo rips, and I knew the solo was going to rip. I remember it, but something I've never noticed before until this listening, and I hate to jump ahead to the drum talk, but Alex kind of goes off beat several times, but yet still maintains the tempo, still stays in the pocket, and kind of just does a few variable things that, if you're not listening for, you might never notice. I don't know. It just stood out to me this time. But so while I love what Eddie was doing in the background with his solo, because the solo is not really as in the forefront like it should be. I was kind of distracted by what Alex is doing in a good way.
That's where I was going. I like what Alex and Michael were doing there. It's moments like that you realize that this is probably one of the best rhythm sections in rock.
Oh yeah.
Like just Alex is the perfect timekeeper. He's Greg Randolph was talking about it last week, where he was mentioning how just you know, Eddie's timing, but Alex's timing too, like just phenomenal. Like I thought the solo was okay, but for me it was Alex and Mike that just, by the way, we're in the band, you know. Watch what we can do.
And what they can do is pretty damn impressive. As the non-musician on the panel, and you can all tell me I'm full of shit, but I really liked how Eddie's lead kind of played with Eddie's rhythm. I think he plays rhythm really well on this album. And this is another example where the rhythm and the solo, I thought, worked really well in concert together.
No, but you're not incorrect.
Wow. That's the nicest thing you ever said to me, Mark.
Oh, I'm full of niceties.
Just wait until we vote. I can't wait.
Well, yeah.
Sammy must have shot his wad in the first couple of verses because he added nothing there.
But look, you got two solos for the price of one. That's a rare thing, but it's always a welcomed addition.
Yeah, that outro was good.
Yeah. I like that solo. That was really good.
Yep. And I should correct something here before we get too far in. I mentioned, according to setlist.fm, Man on a Mission was only played once, but it must have been played more than that because it's actually on live right here, right now, on that CD, right after Dreams and right before Ultra Bass. So.
Is it possible it was like a soundboard, something like sound check? Sorry,
It's entirely possible. I don't know if they used any sound check stuff. I know they before most of the songs, I think all the songs were supposed to come from a Fresno show they did in May of '92.
Okay,
that'd be something to ask maybe Eric Senich next week when he's on the show.
There you go. That's nice little segue. A little hint for what's to come, you guys.
That's right.
It's All-Star August. Speaking of All-Stars, Van Halen's Man on a Mission. There it was from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, the fuck album, as we call it. But we've lots of things have been said already as we've gone through this song. But now comes the part everyone tunes in for, and this is where we vote on the song, on whether it is a yay or a nay, whether it is what dreams are made of or if the dream is over. Todd, Sean, since you guys are the guests, you get the privilege to go first. So flip of a coin, Todd, we're going to go to you. Would you say Man on a Mission? Admittedly, you're a David Lee Roth guy, so you got that against Sammy. It's fine. But would you say Man on a Mission is what dreams are made of? Or are you just out of chicken wings and it's just nothing but bones?
Oh, it's all that splat and bone stuff. I don't know. I'm down.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry.
What was it about this one that didn't work for you, Todd?
I don't know. It just the cadence of the song. I don't know. It's just not your typical. I don't know. It didn't rub me the right way, I guess. It's not one of those songs that that I would actually go and play on purpose, but it's on the album. If it's playing, it's fine, but not something I'd go, oh, I want to listen to the song again.
Not actively choosing it. Well, there's one downvote for Man on a Mission. Sean, do you dare be contrary to Todd, or was this the cat's meow, this chicken bone song?
Just like Todd was saying, it didn't rub them the right way. It just felt like a dry rub on a Portuguese chicken. It's just, yeah. I don't know. It felt like Sammy wrote the lyrics in 5 minutes. Even like the melodies on here were, it just kind of felt a little uninspired. Like, I think if he'd have put a little bit more work into it, it just felt like he's like, Eddie came up some good, like, I think Eddie came up with some good stuff too. But I just felt like, I know they weren't getting along at this point, and I think it was just like, okay, the song's done enough. Let's just get it out. I think that's, I kind of, it felt, we have a song. It's good enough. Let's just put it on the album. To me, that's what it felt like. It was definitely a filler track. Is it horrible? No, but it's not. It's average at best.
Average at best is sometimes the best compliment you can receive. But in this case, I don't know, maybe not so much. But Corey, now we come to you. Now, you love this album, and you love, I would say, probably most of the content of this album. So is Man on a Mission one of those plus ones, or is this just going straight down the drain for you?
Man, it was really close. These lyrics are fucking stupid. This is the worst of Sammy Hagar when it comes to writing, right? But to me, the band saves it. I thought the band sounded phenomenal. Like I said, the solo section, I think I probably liked more out of anybody on the panel here. I really loved that section and the extended outro as well. And Sammy's singing great. The lyrics are stupid. I'll give you that. And it's certainly not my favorite or top five on this album, but I just can't downvote it. I thought the band did enough to save it here for me. So in a very close vote, because we don't have a middle option, I'm giving it What Dreams Are Made Of. So, Mark and Meyer, are we going to have a tie on our hands? Is it going to be 2-2, or are you going to side with the McGinnity Brothers and downvote this one?
Oh.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Not everything can be Pulitzer Prize winning material in terms of writing. All right. And even the greatest rock bands in the world sometimes have to really stretch for lyrical content. In the case of Van Halen, this would not be the first time they've talked about getting laid in their songs. Not at all. Need I mention David Lee Roth's catalog?
I'm just 90% saying. Of the catalog.
Correct. Now, would I say that Sammy is going out of his way to be a poet in this? Well, I'm sure he thinks he is. It's not the most poetic of songs, but look, he's it's called Man on a Mission. He's giving it to you straight. And jokes aside, and feel however you want about the content of the lyrics of the song, Sammy's singing his ass off. Like, you just don't let the lyrics distract you from what he's doing vocally. He is all over the place in the best possible way. He is utilizing his range in a way that even in some of the biggest hits that he's been a part of, he doesn't do. But in this, he's high. He is getting high up there. And he is staying true to the melody. He is staying true to, the way the song is structured. Does he kind of get lost in himself and his lyrics and trying to, did he run out of ideas? Perhaps he did, or perhaps he just felt like, well, what more need be said? But much like Corey, I very much love Eddie's solo section, both of them. The outro is really, really good as well. As I mentioned earlier, though, I had never noticed what Alex was doing in that section in particular until this show. So that was equally impressive. And shout out to Michael as well. But all in all, this song just, it just works for me. This is one of the Four Unlawful songs that I just really, really dig. Did I know as a kid what he was talking about? No, but it didn't matter. The song is still a good rock and feel good tune. And really, do you want anything else from a Van Halen track? Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. And for me, Man on a Mission is in fact what dreams are made of.
We have a tie. This is the first time we've had a tie because we have a four-person panel. So I can think of one way that we want to break the tie if everybody's up for it.
Oh, no.
What a segue.
Here we go. All right. That's right. It's time for another edition of Best of Both Books. I'm going to read an excerpt from one of the autobiographies of the two main Van Halen frontmen, Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth. And our panelists are going to have to tell us which book that came from. Mark, you're playing for team and the podcast will rock. So yeah. Don't let me down, buddy. And here we have Sean and Todd playing for team Fast Fret and Sean Geek. So if you guys are ready.
It's Geek Boy and Fast Freddy, by the way.
Sorry, I screwed that. Yeah. All right, if you boys are ready, we will start with our first excerpt here. All right, our first excerpt goes like this. There were a couple of girls named the Plastercasters who had a little bit of a twist to their game. The way they got backstage was to make plaster molds of guys' dicks. I think they had a collection of some 20 or 30 of them, including Hendrix's and Morrison's dick. Those gals must be in their 50s now or somewhere near it. Gentlemen, which autobiography did that come from? Let's start with Todd.
I'll say Diamond Dave.
Diamond Dave. One vote for Diamond Dave. Crazy from the Heat. Sean.
Dave.
Also Dave. Mark.
Well, normally I would say Gene Simmons because didn't Kiss just do like a whole song about the Plastercaster?
They did, yep.
But in this case, actually, I'm going to be the word of the day, contrarian. I'm going to say that's Sammy's.
There you go. And already you're letting the team down. That's one for the Sean Geek podcast. That came from Crazy from the Heat, Diamond Dave. All right. Quote number two. No problem. No problem. Say hello to Fluffy. Fuck you, Fluffy. No, no. You're going to upset Fluffy. I ain't saying hello to no stuffed bear. You know, now that I think about it, it's going to take a little longer to sew up that shirt that I was thinking. Hi, Fluffy. How you been? Which book did that come from? Mark, let's start with you.
The sporadicness of what I just heard makes me think that that's another Diamond Dave. So, yeah, I'll say Diamond Dave.
All right, one vote Diamond Dave. Sean.
That's a toughie. I don't know. I'm going to be contrarian because I want to win the game. I'm going to go Sammy.
Okay. One vote, Dave, one vote, Sammy. Todd.
I'm going to go Sammy. It doesn't sound like something Dave would say.
You know what? It is something Dave would say. Oh, came from Crazy from the Heat.
Oh,
all tied
up. How do you not think that sounds like Dave just based on the phrasing of everything?
The incoherence.
The only thing Corey left out was zoop bop zoobity bip.
It was from a section from the book. He wanted something done from like the seamstress on tour, and she made him talk to her stuffed animal, and he took great offense to that. So, all right, our next quote.
He talks to his dick. Like, why is he having a problem with it?
with it, I know, right? But yeah, he had an issue with it apparently. All right, our next quote. I love Val. Always have. Even after I left the band, he and I would sometimes call each other on our birthdays on New Year's Eve. It was our way of staying in touch, even when things were bad. The brothers had accomplished very little since I left. Which book did that come from? Let's start with Sean on this one.
That's easily Sammy.
Easily
with
Sammy.
Confidence, I'm saying.
Oh, well, the brothers accomplished nothing since I left. You're saying Sammy Hagar. Okay, cool. Mark.
I also think that is Sammy.
Okay. Todd?
Yeah, I was going to say Sammy.
You're all right. That came from read by Sammy Hagar. Good job, gentlemen.
Dave does not like Val. I don't think.
And I just got to find our next one here. Okay, here we go. Our next quote. Once I discovered rock and roll and pussy, I barely made it through high school. Which book did that come from? Todd.
Diamond Dave.
Quite emphatically.
Arnold Schwarzenegger or Diamond Dave? I don't know.
Sean, are you saying Diamond Dave as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's two votes for Diamond Dave. Mark?
Nope, I'm saying Sammy.
Sammy Hagar, you are correct. Mark is ahead.
What's the score here? What?
It's three for Mark, two each for Todd and Sean.
Oh, man. What a comeback victory this is going to be.
is this the first time you're ahead in the polls?
I think so.
Well, I was ahead of Mariano at one point, and then he somehow came back.
Yeah,
and
he came in from behind. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
like he always.
That's
does.
About. That sounds. That sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay, our next quote: the Crazy Horse Saloon in Paris. It had been there since the war. Same owner. He selected all the girls based on their appearance, of course, and he was a fan of the athletic Swedish speed skater body. Whoa! Can I get one in blue? Mark Kammeyer, which book did that come from?
I feel like that's because there's a Crazy Horse Saloon in Nashville, or there was. I think it's just been recently shut down because, we don't have enough time. So I'm going to say that one is old Dave, Diamond Dave.
Diamond Dave? Okay. Sean?
That's Dave.
Dave? Todd?
Yeah, the wool reference would be Dave. Whoa!
You're all correct. That came from Crazy from the Heat. So we're currently sitting at four for Mark, three for Todd, three for Sean. It's the first one to five. So Mark, you can win it with this one right here. And here's the quote. I stopped to buy $10 worth of bunk Jamaican reefer in Washington Square Park. I was walking with a girlfriend. We had just finished sushi lunch. And I said, sugar, let's get a little dime's worth. We'll go up onto the roof and smoke a joint. Will be romantic. Sean McGinnity, which book did that come from?
Oh, that sounds familiar. I'm going Sammy.
Okay. You're saying that came from Red by Sammy Hagar. Todd?
I'm going to go Dave.
Okay. That's one vote for Dave. Mark?
Every instinct of me wants to say that that's probably Sammy, but wants to change it to Dave. Oh, because I feel like it could go either way. All right. It either makes or breaks me. I'm going to say that's Sammy.
It broke you. That was Diamond Dave.
No.
Mark and Todd are now tied four apiece.
No. Oh. Still in this.
All right. I got to find a little tiebreaker one here. All right. Our final quote. This is for the win. Todd or Mark could win it here. If they both get it wrong and Sean gets it right, we'll have a three-way tie for first. Gentlemen, here's your quote. Here's a song for all you tractor-pulling motherfuckers. Sean, which book did that come from?
Let's go Dave.
All right. One vote for David Lee Roth. Todd?
Sammy.
Sammy, Mark?
I'm going to say Dave.
Todd McGinnity pulls it out for the Sean Geek and Fast Red podcast. You guys win.
Damn.
Best of both books. Sammy Hagar said that during Farm Aid.
God, man. Of course he did. Class. Of course he did. Of course.
Wow. Big, big come from behind victory for the McGinnity boys. Congratulations. Always.
Right on. Thanks.
Felt like I rode on some coattails there.
Oh, he carried your ass. Absolutely.
In Ben's, well, on the podcast world.
Just goes to show you. That's the lesson here, kids, is read more books, especially when they pertain to Van Halen content. You would think I would have already done that by now, but that would ruin the fun of the game.
Or if it's a multiple choice, just pick C.
I love that Mark has hosted a Van Halen podcast for 41 episodes and has lost every single round of Best of Both Books.
Look, I did pretty damn good this game. All right.
I thought I did too.
But see, and also, kids, sometimes trust your instincts and then sometimes don't. That's my lesson for you.
You're either going to be right or you're going to be wrong.
You got a 50-50 shot. Also, if we did it multiple choice, the answer for C would just be Gary Cherone the whole time. So if you keep guessing C, that would be bad.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Apologies to Gary.
Who needs to write a book? We need to add a third book to our rotation here.
Yeah. Does he not have a book?
Not that I know of. No, I don't think so.
Cherone?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Or what about Mitch?
He needs to write a book out.
He was almost in Van Halen.
Right. Yeah.
Who?
Mitch Malloy. He was the almost singer for Van Halen at some point.
He was he was almost the singer and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
All right, that guy. But apologies to him too, because that's a tough break. But that's the show, you guys. We've done it. We've put another one on the books. Joined again by the McGinty brothers. Dudes. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for beating me in this new segment game that Corey loves so much. It actually is really fun. It just sucks losing all the time. But you guys are the guests, so it's poetic that you guys would win. So please tell the folks what you guys got going on and where they can find you if they want to check it out.
Todd, you got this or what?
Well, you can find us at seanmcginnity.ca. That's seanmcginnity.ca.
And all our social medias are all at Sean Geek Podcast everywhere, Reddit, even LinkedIn if you want to, I don't know, be boring. We're everywhere.
And really worth the listen, guys.
For LinkedIn.
There you go. I love your show, guys. And I'm so thankful that that you reached out to us and we've been chatting back and forth. It's been an absolute blast having you on the show. And I've had a great time listening to your guys' show. I'm glad Todd is back. I commented to Sean, like, I can't believe you carry a show by yourself whenever Todd's not available and do it so flawlessly. But really, when you and Todd are together, it's magic. It's podcast magic. So thank you very much for doing your show and for coming on ours. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no.
Thank
no
you very much.
Anytime. This is always a blast.
Had a great time. My cheeks are sore from laughing.
We bring the yuck yucks and the rock and roll.
We can tease. You guys are coming on our show in September.
Yes, I can't wait.
I don't know if we want to spoil what it's about yet, but
can we please? Can we? Yeah, I want to spoil it.
Does Mark know?
I'm too excited. I think so. We talked about it a little bit there.
But Corey's really excited to spoil it. So go ahead,
Corey.
We're gonna introduce our friend Mark to a little Canadian music because I'm a proud Canadian. So are Todd and Sean.
Oh hell
and
yeah!
Canada has a very rich musical history to the point where even when we were kind of talking about what bands and what songs we wanted to introduce to Mark, we all had differing ways to go. So there's a treasure trove of music that we can introduce to one Mark Kammeyer. And I asked Mark, do you know a lot about Canadian music? And it turns out you don't really know that much, do you?
My go-to karaoke song is always Limelight by Rush.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. I love Protest the Hero. There was this death metal band called Ion Dissonance that was from Toronto. I don't think they're a band anymore, but during my Scenester days, they were pretty hip. And who doesn't like Alanis Morissette?
Yeah. I think she's great, but I'm related to her, so yeah, I should say that.
Yeah, and she played God, and she played God in Dogma. Like, it doesn't get higher than that, right?
And she blew Dave Coulier in a theater.
A legend.
Okay, you just raised her up, and then you just took
her down. Had to take her back
it out. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, edit her out. Is this for the documentary? Sorry.
No, but it's true though. My knowledge on Canadian bands and a lot of Canadian music is limited, that admittedly. So I'm always interested in expanding my musical vocabulary, as it were, and my knowledge regionally. So I'm looking forward to that show.
So post episode, I'm going to send you a link to the Spotify playlist put on by one of Eric's guests. He wrote a book called This Heart's on Fire, which talked about the Canadian breakthrough years, the 90s, 2000s, I think it was, where Canadian music was just dominating American charts. And he created a playlist off of every band he mentioned in his book. And the book is phenomenal. It's really, really good. Yeah,
There's a good chance I probably know a lot of the bands. I just am not aware that they are Canadian.
Very true. Very true.
So that'll be fun. That'll be a fun discovery.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised. I know Sean's got some great suggestions. I got a few too. Hopefully they'll let me fit in here as well. But there's one especially I think you're gonna love. I'll play a little snippet of it here for you, Mark.
You do that so fast.
I'm a professional.
Oh. We'll just sit over here like while you're singing, eh?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Good luck, eh?
Okay.
Luck.
Okay.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Canadian music at its finest.
Oh, beauty, go. Okay. Good day and welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie and this is my brother Doug. How's it going, eh?
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, this record was my idea.
Get out!
It was.
You're lying.
Pete Hosehead here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was our idea together, eh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
okay.
I gotta wait for the singing to kick in.
Say that, but
oh, take off.
So expect a lot of music like that, Mark.
What was that? Like Canada's Flight of the Conchords? Because that's what that sounded like.
You're probably too young to remember a duo by the name of Bob and Doug McKenzie. They were very big in the 80s.
I mean, they sound familiar. And here I thought you were going to play me some legendary Corey Hart.
Oh, that's coming, my friend. But no, I'll tell you quickly the story of Bob and Doug McKenzie. So there was a sketch show in Canada called SCTV that featured John Candy, Martin Short, Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy, guys like that. And they did a show originally out of Toronto and then out of Edmonton. And the CRTC, which is a thing we have in Canada that regulates Canadian content on the airwaves, went to the crew of SCTV and said, "You're not Canadian enough." And Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas said, "Are you fucking kidding? Like, how much more Canadian do we have to be? We're an all-Canadian cast with an all-Canadian crew. Do you want us to sit on a set with toques on, eating back bacon and drinking beer for 10 minutes of show?" So that's what they did to appease the CRTC on every episode
Strange
of SCTV.
Brew.
Yep. And then they did the movie Strange Brew.
That's how yep. I know the names.
And this song came off their album. Which actually had a hit Canadian single, their 12 Days of Christmas. This is their theme song, Take Off.
See, that I didn't know. I didn't Geddy know Lee. They had an album. Well, yeah, this awesome.
Every time I used to make a mix back in the 90s and 2000s, I always pulled a track off the Bob and Doug McKenzie CD every time.
Well, it's got for our That's Christmas amazing. Show, Mark. I got to play you the 12 Days of Christmas. It's probably my favorite Christmas carol. Yeah.
I really hope you do. I'm so excited for that now.
Can I? I'll give you a little.
Yes, we got to do that one. I'll give you spoiler mark. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
Beer. Yeah. In a tree.
In a tree.
That beer's empty.
Yeah. Dude, that beer's empty.
Yeah. And they also talk about the metric system on there, which is great. They explain it to Americans. It's great. Yeah.
Well, good, because we need that explained, because it works a lot better than whatever the hell's happening down here. So I'm in for it. You guys have just been spoiled on a future episode. So stay tuned for the holiday season in a few short months. But yes, I cannot wait to join you guys for the Canadian music show. That's going to be super fun. I'll be very surprised to see what I know, and then to be surprised about what I don't know. That'll be good stuff. Corey, where can the people find you and where can they find the show if they want to find some more stuff?
Oh, they could find me at CD Marset on Twitter. They could also find me on my other two podcasts, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we're breaking down the Aerosmith catalog, and Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking everything music in movies. And they can find the show at Podcastle Rock on Twitter and www.podcastlerock.com. Catch up on older episodes, get yourself some merch. You can do all that www.podcastlerock.com.
Right on. And you can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Go ahead and tell me how much I suck at the best of both books game, because I love to hear it. Yeah, again, thank you to Todd and Sean for being on the show. We'll have you back sooner rather than later, I'm quite sure. And I don't know, maybe they'll have a song where they'll be more enthusiastic, because man on a mission, whether we're talking about getting laid or getting hot chicken wings or both, just wasn't what they were in the mood for. Corey and myself, on the other hand, this is what dreams are made of. Hot, wet, spicy dreams. But that's why you come to the Podcast Will Rock for that sort of content. Thank you once again for joining us. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.